Understandably, she might respond to such changes with resistance, denial, or anger. The person's need for familiar surroundings and the determination of most people not to be a burden to anyone make it understandable that a person who has dementia will not want to give up these things. Accepting the necessity to do so means facing the extent and finality of an illness, something that many people find hard to do. In addition, the person who has dementia might be unable to make complete sense of what's going on. Even early in the disease, she may completely forget recent events. Without a recollection of leaving the stove on or of having an auto accident, she may reasonably insist that she can take care of herself or that she is still a good driver. She is not denying the reality of her situation. She can't remember the mistakes that are evidence of her impairment. If she's not able to assess her own limitations, it may seem to her as if things are being unfairly taken away from her and that her family is taking over. By recognizing how she may feel, you'll be able to find ways to help her make the necessary changes and still feel that she's in control of her life. When a person must give up a job. The time when a person must give up her job depends on the kind of job she has and whether she must drive as part of her job. Sometimes an employer will tell you or the person herself that she must retire. Some employers will be willing to retain a person in a job that is much less demanding. Sometimes the family must make this decision. You may realize that this time has come. If the person must give up her job, there are two areas that you must consider. The emotional and psychological adjustments involved in such a major change, and the financial changes that will be involved. For most people, their job is a key part of how they define who they are. This is one reason a person who has dementia may resist giving up her job or may insist that nothing is wrong. Adjustment to retirement may be painful and distressing. A counselor or social worker can be invaluable in helping her if these things happen. It's important that you consider the financial future of the person who has dementia. This is discussed in Chapter 15. Retirement can create special problems. Individuals who are forced to retire early because of an illness that causes dementia should be entitled to the same retirement and disability benefits as a person with any other disabling disease. In some cases, benefits have been denied on the erroneous grounds that declining job performance is not a disease. Such a decision can substantially reduce her income. If this happens, it's important to establish that dementia is the cause of the declining performance. If this approach is unsuccessful, you may want to obtain legal counsel. Federal law, the Social Security Disability Act, provides assistance. Social Security Disability Income, or SSDI, or Supplemental Disability Income, to people who become disabled before age 65. To receive SSDI, the disabled person must have worked 20 out of the past 40 calendar quarters and no longer be able to do gainful work because of a medically determinable physical or mental illness that will result in death or that has lasted for at least 12 months. The amount of the financial benefit is based on the person's earnings at the time she stops working. Thus, a person who is developing symptoms of dementia and tries a lower-paying job before applying for SSDI may receive a lower payment than a person who applies for SSDI directly after stopping her original job. People who have dementia often have no difficulty obtaining benefits, but some claims are still being denied. Preparing for and applying for SSDI is especially important for anyone who must retire early and for people who have frontotemporal dementia, because their impairments are often not obvious to others. Many people are denied disability on their initial application and give up, but persistence through the appeals process often results in reversal of the initial decision. A diagnosis of early-onset dementia should automatically qualify the person for expedited review of a claim for SSDI or Social Security Disability, SSD. when a person can no longer manage money. The person who has dementia may be unable to balance her checkbook, lose the ability to make change, or become irresponsible with her money. Occasionally, when a person can no longer manage her money, she may accuse others of stealing from her. Said Mr. Freed, "My wife has kept the books for the family business for years. I knew something was wrong when my accountant came to me and told me the books were a terrible mess." Mr. Rogers said, "My wife was giving money to the neighbors, hiding it in the wastebasket, and losing her purse. So I took her purse and her money away from her. Then she was always saying I stole her money." Because money often represents independence, sometimes people are psychologically unwilling to give up control of their finances. Sometimes you can take over the household accounts by simply correcting the efforts of the person affected by dementia after she has done her work. If you have to take her checkbook away against her wishes, it may help to write a memo such as, "My son John now takes care of my checkbook," and put the note where she can refer to it to refresh her memory. It can be upsetting when a person accuses others of stealing, but this is easier to understand when you think about human nature. We've been taught all our lives to be careful with money, and when money disappears, most of us wonder if it was stolen. As a person's brain becomes less able to remember what's really happening, it's not surprising that she becomes anxious and suspicious that her money is being stolen. Avoid getting into arguments about it because they may upset her more. Some families find that giving the forgetful person a small amount of spending money, perhaps small change or $1 bills, helps. If the money's lost or given away, it's only a minimal amount. Since many people feel secure if they have a little bit of cash on hand, this is one way to avoid conflicts about money. One peculiarity of the diseases that cause dementia is that a person can lose the ability to make change before she loses the knowledge that she needs money. Mrs. Hutchinson has always been fiercely independent about her money, so Mr. Hutchinson gave her a purse with some change in it. He put her name and address in the purse in case she lost it. She insisted on paying her hairdresser by check long after she could reasonably manage a checkbook. So Mr. Hutchinson gave her some checks stamped void by the bank. Each week she gives one to the hairdresser. Mr. Hutchinson privately arranged with the hairdresser that these would be accepted and that he would pay the bill ahead of time. This may seem extreme. It may also seem unfair to dupe one's wife this way. In reality, it allows her to continue to feel independent, and it allows her tired and burdened husband to manage the finances and keep the peace. Money matters can cause serious problems, especially when the person who has dementia is also suspicious or when other members of the family disagree. It may be helpful here to refer to chapters 8 and 11. Your ingenuity can be a great help to you in making money matters less distressing. When a person can no longer drive safely. The time may come when you realize that your parent or spouse can no longer drive safely. While some people will recognize their limits, many are unwilling to give up driving. As a group, people who have dementia and continue to drive are much more likely to have accidents than other people their age. For most experienced drivers, driving is a skill so well learned that it's partly automatic. A person can go back and forth to work every day with their mind on other things, perhaps answering calls or listening to music. It doesn't take much concentration to drive, but when the traffic pattern suddenly changes, we can rely on our mind to immediately focus on the road and respond swiftly to the crisis. Because driving is a well-learned skill, a person who has dementia can still appear to be driving well when she's not really a safe driver. Driving requires a highly complex interaction of eyes, brain, and muscles, and the ability to solve complicated problems quickly. A person who is still apparently driving safely may have lost the ability to respond appropriately to an unexpected problem on the road. She may be relying entirely on the habits of driving and may be unable to shift quickly from a habitual response to a new response when the situation demands it. Often, people make the decision themselves to stop driving when they feel that they aren't as sharp as they used to be. But if your parent or spouse does not, you have a responsibility to her and to others to determine carefully whether or not her driving is dangerous and to intervene when it is. This may be one of the first situations in which you take a decision out of the hands of the person who has dementia. You may feel hesitant to do this, but you will probably be relieved once you have stopped a forgetful person from driving. Don't push someone who hesitates to drive to continue to drive. There is some controversy over whether a person who has dementia can continue to drive in the early phases of the illness. No test score can determine this, but a trained occupational therapist can evaluate driving skills. To decide whether the time has come, look at the skills that a person needs to drive safely and evaluate whether the person still has these skills, both in the car and in other situations. 1. Good vision. A person must have good vision or vision corrected with glasses and be able to see clearly both in front and out of the corners of her eyes, peripheral vision, so that she sees things coming toward her from the sides. 2. Good perception. The brain merges the sensory information it receives in a way that makes it understandable. For example, it integrates all the visual information it receives while a person is driving so that it can quickly identify something out of the ordinary, such as a young child standing on a curb. This should alert the driver that the child may dart out into the street. Diseases that cause dementia impair the brain's ability to put information together in the correct way, and therefore can affect a basic aspect of driving ability. 3. Good hearing. A person must be able to hear well or have her hearing corrected with hearing aids so that she's alert to the sounds of approaching cars, horns, and so forth. 4. Quick reaction time. A driver must be able to react quickly, to turn, to brake, and to avoid accidents. Older people's reaction time, when it's formally tested, is slightly slower than that of young people, but in older people who are well, it doesn't slow enough to interfere with driving. However, if you see that a person seems slowed down or reacts slowly or inappropriately to sudden changes around the house, this should alert you to the possibility of the same limitations when she's driving. 5. Ability to make decisions. A driver must be able to make appropriate decisions rapidly and calmly. The ability to make a correct decision when a child darts in front of the car, a horn honks, and a truck is approaching all at once necessitates being able to solve complicated, unfamiliar problems quickly and without panicking. People who have dementia often rely on habitual responses, and the habitual response may not be the correct one in a given driving situation. Some people also become confused and upset when several things happen at once. You'll see these problems, if they are occurring, around the house as well as in the car. 6. Good coordination. Eyes, hands, and feet must all work together well to handle a car safely. If a person is getting clumsy, or if her way of walking has changed, it should alert you that she may also have trouble getting her foot on the brake. 7. Alertness to what is going on around one. A driver must be alert to all that is going on without becoming upset or confused. If a person is missing things that happen around her, she may no longer be a safe driver. Sometimes driving behaviors alert you to problems. Forgetful people may get lost on routes that would not have confused them previously. Being lost can distract the driver and further interfere with her ability to react quickly. Sometimes driving too slowly is a clue that the driver is uncertain of her skills, but this doesn't mean that every cautious driver is an impaired driver. Drivers who have dementia may hit the accelerator when they mean to hit the brake. People who have dementia may become angry or aggressive when they drive, or they may inappropriately believe that other drivers are out to get them. This is dangerous. Occasionally, a person who has dementia is also drinking too much. Even small amounts of alcohol impair the driving ability of people who have dementia. If this dangerous combination affects your parent or spouse, you must intervene. The grandchild test is one way to decide whether a person should still be driving. If you would not let a person drive your child or grandchild, then she should not be driving. If you're concerned about the driving ability of a person who has dementia, you might first approach the problem by discussing it frankly with her. Even though a person is cognitively impaired, she's still able to participate in decisions that involve her. How you initiate such a discussion may affect her response. People with brain impairments are sometimes less able to tolerate criticism than when they were well, so you want to use tact in such a discussion. If you say, "Your driving is terrible, you're getting lost, and you're just not safe," the person may feel she has to defend herself and may argue with you. Instead, by gently saying, "You're getting absent-minded about stoplights," you may be able to give her an easy way out. Giving up driving means admitting one's increasing limitations. Look for ways to help the person save face and maintain her self-image at the same time you react to the need for safety. Try offering alternatives. "I'll drive today and you can look at the scenery." As a last resort, some families have sold the car and told the person who has dementia that it couldn't be repaired. Sometimes families are pleasantly surprised. Mr. Solomon was a strong-minded, independent man. The family knew that his driving skills were poor, but felt it would break his heart to lose his independence. They also anticipated a terrible fight over driving. However, a neighbor notified the Department of Motor Vehicles. When Mr. Solomon came home from his driving test, he tossed his license on the table and said he could no longer drive. After that, he never, despite the family's fears, seemed upset or inconvenienced. The Department of Motor Vehicles probably made this easier by telling him this was a routine check of people his age. Sometimes a person will absolutely refuse to give up driving, despite your tact. It may help to enlist the support of a doctor or a family lawyer. Some physicians will write an order on a prescription pad that says, "Do not drive." Families report that having the physician be the bad guy takes great pressure off the caregiver. Often a person will cooperate with the instructions of an authority when she may regard your advice as nagging. As a last resort, you may have to take away the car keys or have a mechanic disable the starting mechanism. States vary in their policies regarding driver's licenses. Some states require that physicians report drivers who have dementia. In some states, the Department of Motor Vehicles will issue any non-driver an identification card that can be used to cash checks and the like. They may also investigate a complaint from any citizen, even if it's anonymous, and will sometimes suspend a license if they receive a written opinion from a physician that the person's health makes her an unsafe driver. Some states issue limited licenses that allow a person to drive only under certain circumstances, such as only in daylight. Call the state police or the Department of Motor Vehicles to find out the policy in your area. If a person has been told by a physician not to drive, the caregiver may be found negligent if the person drives and has an accident. If someone is injured or killed in the accident, it could bankrupt the family. One wife who did not drive sold the car and put the money aside in a safe place. Every week, she added the amount they used to spend on gas, maintenance, and car insurance. She said it was easier to spend money on taxis, knowing they used to spend it on the car. When a person can no longer live alone. When a person has lived alone but can no longer do so, the move to live with someone else can be difficult for everyone. Some people welcome the sense of security that living with others provides. Others vigorously resist giving up their independence. Often, people who have dementia go through a series of stages from complete independence to living with someone. If a gradual transition from independence is possible, it may be easier for the person to adjust, and it may postpone the time when she must live with someone. For example, at first, the help of the neighbors or a Meals on Wheels program may be adequate. Later, a family member or a paid helper may spend part of the day with the person. A few people may need someone to come in only to give medications or help with a meal. When you suspect that someone living alone is developing dementia, you need to be alert to the possibility that the person's ability to function alone may change suddenly. Some minor stress or even a mild cold can make her worse. Sometimes you won't notice the gradual, insidious decline until something happens. Families often wait too long before taking action. When things do go wrong, the person may react by trying to cover up. Some people who have dementia don't realize they have problems. Others may blame the family or withdraw. Close family members may also deny that there are problems. Therefore, it can be difficult to know for sure what's going on. Here are some questions to consider when deciding whether a person who is living alone is in need of help. Changes in personality or habits. Is she uncharacteristically withdrawn, apathetic, negative, pessimistic, suspicious, or unusually fearful of crime? Does she insist that everything is fine or not admit that there are any problems when you know there have been problems? Is the person able to manage her own personal care and grooming? Is she wearing dirty clothes, forgetting or refusing to bathe or brush her teeth, or in other ways neglecting herself? Has she become isolated? Does she say she is going out when she does not? Phone calls. Have her conversations become increasingly vague? Details require more memory. Do conversations ramble? Or does she seem to forget what she was saying? Does she repeat herself? Does she become edgy when talking on the telephone, more than she used to? Is she less tolerant of frustration? Are you receiving fewer phone calls from her, too many calls, or calls late at night? Does she repeat the same story at each conversation as if it were new? Emailing and writing. Has she stopped emailing, doing Facebook, writing letters, or sending cards? Or are her writings uncharacteristically rambling? Has her handwriting changed? Is it now hard to understand what she's trying to get across? Meals and medications. Is the person eating her meals and taking her medications correctly? A person who has dementia may not eat, or may eat only sweets, even when you have provided a hot meal. The person may take too much medicine or forget her medicine. This can make her thinking impairments worse and jeopardize her physical health. If the person is safe in other ways, she may be able to live alone if someone else helps daily with food and medicine. But it's been our experience that people who forget to eat properly are experiencing sufficient cognitive impairment that they very likely cannot safely live alone. Is the person forgetting to turn off the stove or burning the food? People who appear to be managing well often forget to turn off the stove. Has she stopped cooking? Are pots burned? Is the person using candles or matches? It can be hard to believe that a person is really a danger to herself when she looks so well, but fire is a real and serious hazard. Cases of severe or even fatal accidental burns are not uncommon. If you suspect that the person is forgetting to turn off the stove, you must intervene. Other problems. Has the person wandered away from home even once? If so, there is a real chance she could get lost or be robbed or assaulted. Is she wandering around outside at night? Such behavior is dangerous. Have her friends or neighbors called you with concerns about her behavior or safety? Has she failed to keep appointments or not come to family events? Has she given you confusing reports of a mishap, such as a car accident? Did she retire from work early or abruptly? Is the person keeping the house tidy, reasonably clean and free of hazards? The person may spill water in the kitchen or bathroom and forget to clean it up, creating a fall hazard for herself. Sometimes people forget to wash the dishes or forget to flush the toilet or in other ways create unsanitary conditions. If the house is badly cluttered, they could trip and fall. A person who has dementia may pile up newspapers and rags, which become a fire hazard. Does the house smell of urine? These are signals that the person is unable to manage alone or is ill. Is the person keeping herself warm enough or cool enough? She may keep her house too cold or dress improperly for cold weather. Her body temperature can drop dangerously in such circumstances. In hot weather, she may dress too warmly or may be afraid to open the house for adequate ventilation. This can lead to heat stroke. Is the person acting in response to paranoid ideas or unrealistic suspiciousness? Such behavior can get her in trouble in the community. Sometimes people call the police because of their fears and make their neighbors angry. Sometimes, too, people who are elderly or who have dementia become the targets of malicious teenagers or adults. Such problems can occur in any neighborhood. Is the person showing good judgment? Does she have new friends of questionable character? Is she donating money to questionable causes? Is she sending money to every charity that sends her an appeal in the mail, even if she's uninterested in its work? Does she repeatedly send money to the same charity because she forgot she had already donated? Some people who have dementia show poor judgment about whom they let in the house and can be robbed by the people they invite in, or they may give away money or do other inappropriate things. Who's paying the bills? Often, the first indication family members have that something is wrong is when the heat or water is shut off because the bill hasn't been paid, or because the resident won't let the meter reader in. The person may stop balancing her checkbook, or her spending habits may change. Has she skipped filing income tax when she was always careful about such matters? Such clues indicate that something may be wrong, but not necessarily that the person has an illness that causes dementia. Once you're aware that there may be a problem, it's essential to get a complete assessment for the person. These changes can indicate many other treatable conditions. What you can do. Contact the Alzheimer's Association chapter in your community. Most chapters have had experience helping families who live at a distance and can give you valuable information. Talk to neighbors and other family members to get as complete a story as possible. If the person lives in a city, talk to a close friend of hers, an apartment house neighbor, or a doorkeeper. If she lives in a rural area, talk to the mail carrier, her bank manager, her clergy, or a neighbor. They may be aware of problems. Give these people your telephone number and ask them to alert you if they notice something you should know about. Visit in person to assess the situation and to arrange for a diagnosis. Talk to the Alzheimer's Association, the Office on Aging, or a family social agency in your relative's town. They'll be able to tell you about local resources. Sometimes a person can continue to live independently for a while if you arrange for supervision. Perhaps her physician can give you an idea of how able she is to continue functioning alone. In major cities, there are geriatric case managers who will, for a fee, function as a stand-in relative, taking a person for appointments, helping with a checkbook, and keeping an eye on things. You should check the credentials of anyone who offers to provide these services. Ask for references, contact the references, and inquire about the applicant's honesty and reliability, how long they have known the applicant, and what the applicant did for them. Find out whether any state agency regulates this service, and check to see if any complaints have been registered against the applicant. Tell your relative who is showing symptoms of confusion that you're concerned about her and will be checking frequently. Moving to a new residence. If you believe that your relative can no longer live alone, you must make other arrangements for her. You might consider full-time help, or you may arrange for the person to move into someone else's home, an assisted living facility, a nursing home, or a retirement community. These facilities are described in detail in Chapter 16. Mr. Sawyer reports, "Mother simply cannot live alone anymore. We hired a housekeeper, and Mother fired her. And when I called the agency, they said they could not send anyone else. So we talked with Mother and told her we wanted her to come live with us, but she absolutely refused. She says nothing is wrong with her, that I'm trying to steal her money. She won't admit she isn't eating. She says she changed her clothes, and we know she hasn't. I don't know what to do." If a person who is confused refuses to give up her independence and move into a safer setting, your understanding what she may be thinking and feeling may help make the move easier. A transition from independent living to living with someone else may mean giving up her independence and admitting impairment. Moving means more losses. It means giving up a familiar place and often many familiar possessions. That place and those possessions are the tangible symbols of her past and serve as reminders when her memories fail. The person who is developing dementia is dependent on a familiar setting to provide her with cues that enable her to function independently. Learning one's way around in a new place is difficult and sometimes impossible. She feels dependent on familiar surroundings to survive. The person who has dementia may forget the plans that have been discussed or may be unable to understand them. You may reassure your mother that she's coming to live in your house, which is very familiar to her, but all her damaged mind can perceive is that a lot of things are going to be lost. She may not understand the need for a move because she doesn't remember the problems she's having. As you make plans for this person to live with someone, there are several things to consider. 1. Take into careful consideration the changes that this move will mean in your life. Plan before the move for financial resources and emotional outlets and supports for yourself. If the impaired person is to move in with you, what effect will this have on her income? A state may consider room and board as income and reduce public assistance benefits to people who begin living with someone. You will also want to review such things as whether you can claim the person as a dependent on your income tax return. If the person is coming to live with you, how does the rest of the family feel about it? If there are children or teenagers in your family, will their activities upset the person? Or will the person's odd behavior upset them? How does your spouse feel about this? Is your marriage already under stress? Having a person who has dementia in the home creates burdens and stresses under the best of circumstances. If the person who has dementia and her spouse are both moving in, you must also consider how her spouse will interact in the household. All of the people affected need to be involved in the decision and need the opportunity to express their concerns. Assuming the care of a forgetful person may mean changes in other things. Leisure time. You may not be able to go out because there's no one to sit with Mother. Peace. You may not be able to read the newspaper or talk to your wife because Mother is pacing the floor. Money. You may have increased medical bills or bills for remodeling the bedroom. Rest. The person who has dementia may be awake at night and wander about the house. Visitors. People may stop visiting if the person's behavior is embarrassing. These are among the things that make life meaningful and help to reduce your stress. It's important to plan ways for you and your family to relax and get away from the problems of caring for a person who has dementia. Remember also that other problems are not going to go away. You may still worry about your children, come home exhausted from your job, or have the car break down. Is the person you're bringing into your home someone you can live with? If you never could get along with your mother, and if her illness has made her behavior worse instead of better, having her move in with you may be disastrous. If you have had a long-standing, poor relationship with the person who now has dementia, That poor relationship is a reality that can make things more difficult for you. 2. Involve the person as much as possible in plans for the move, even if she refuses to move. The individual who has dementia is still a person, and her participation in plans and decisions that involve her is important, unless she's too severely impaired to comprehend what's happening. People who have been hoodwinked into a move may become even angrier and more suspicious, and their adjustment to the new setting may be extremely difficult. Certainly, the extent and nature of the person's participation depend on the extent of her illness and her attitude toward the move. Keep in mind that there's a key difference between making the decision, which you may have to do, and participating in the planning, which the person who has dementia can be encouraged to do. Perhaps Mr. Sawyer's story will continue this way. After we talked it over with Mother, she still absolutely refused to consider a move. So I went ahead with the arrangements. I told Mother gently that she had to move because she was getting forgetful. I knew too many decisions at once would upset her, so we would just ask her a few things at a time. Mother, would you like to take all your pictures with you? Mother, let's take your own bed and your lovely bedspread for your new bedroom. Of course, we made a lot of decisions without her, about the stove and the washer and the junk in the attic, and of course she kept saying she wasn't going and that I was robbing her. Still, I think some of it sank in, that she was helping us get ready to move. Sometimes she would pick up a vase and say, "I want Carol to have this." We tried to comply with her wishes. Then, after the move, we could honestly tell her that the vase was not stolen. She had given it to Carol. When a person is too impaired to understand what's happening around her, it may be better to make the move without the added stress of trying to involve her in it. 3. Be prepared for a period of adjustment. Changes are frequently upsetting to people who have dementia. No matter how carefully and lovingly you plan the move, this is a major change, and the person may be upset for a while. It's easy to understand that it takes time to get over the losses a move involves. A person who has dementia also needs extra time to learn her way around in a new place. When people who have dementia move before their illness becomes severe, they're often better able to adjust to their new environment. They have greater ability to learn new things and to adapt. Waiting until someone is too far gone to object may mean that she will not be able to learn her way around or recognize that she's in a new setting. Reassure yourself that after an adjustment period, most people settle into their new surroundings. Signs on doors occasionally help people find their way around an unfamiliar home. Having the doctor prescribe a sedative for a brief time occasionally helps a person sleep at night, but might cause unwanted side effects such as unsteadiness, worsening forgetfulness, or daytime drowsiness. Try to postpone other activities or changes until after everyone has adjusted to the move. Occasionally, a person who has dementia never really adjusts to moving. Don't blame yourself. You did the best you could and acted for her well-being. You may have to accept her inability to adjust as being the result of her illness. Chapter 5. Problems arising in daily care. Hazards to watch for. A person who has dementia may not be able to take responsibility for his own safety. He's no longer able to evaluate consequences the way the rest of us do, and because he forgets so quickly, he's at high risk of having a serious accident. He may attempt to do familiar tasks without realizing that he can no longer manage them. For example, the disease may affect those portions of the brain that remember how to do simple things, such as using the microwave or slicing meat. This inability to do manual tasks is often unrecognized and can lead to serious mishaps. Because the person also cannot learn, minor changes in routine can lead to dangerous situations. And because a person seems to be managing well, you may not realize that he has lost the judgment he needs to avoid accidents. Families often need to take responsibility for the safety of people who have dementia, even when they are only mildly impaired. Accidents are most likely to occur when people are cross or tired, when everyone is hurrying, when there's an argument, or when someone in the household is sick. At these times, you're less alert to the possibility of an accident, and the person who has dementia may misunderstand or overreact to even the slightest mishap by having a catastrophic reaction. Do what you can to reduce confusion or tension when it arises. This is difficult when you're struggling with the care of a person who has dementia. If you are rushing with him to keep an appointment or finish a job and he's beginning to get upset, stop. Even if it means being late or not getting something done, catch your breath, rest a minute, and let the person calm down. Be aware that even minor mishaps can be warning signs of impending accidents. You banged your shin on the edge of the bed or dropped and broke a cup, and the person who has dementia is becoming upset. This is the time to create a change of pace before a serious accident occurs. Alert others in the household to the relationship between increased tension and the greater likelihood of accidents. At such times, everyone can keep a closer eye on the person who has dementia. Be sure you know the limits of the person's abilities. Don't take his word that he can heat up his supper or get into the bathtub alone. An occupational therapist can give you an excellent picture of what the person can do safely. If you don't have this resource, observe the person closely as he does various tasks. Have an emergency plan ready in case something bad does happen. Whom will you call if someone, including you, is hurt? If there's a fire, how will you get the person who has dementia and is upset to leave? Remember that he may misinterpret what's happening and resist your efforts to help him. Change the environment to make it safer. This is one of the most important ways to avoid accidents. Hospitals and other institutions have safety experts who regularly inspect for hazards. You can and should do the same thing. Select a time when the person who has dementia is not with you and carefully consider the person's home, yard, neighborhood, and car, looking for things that the person could misuse or misinterpret that might cause an accident. Consider that the person will easily become confused by clutter, may try to do things that are no longer safe, like using a stove, and may gradually become clumsy enough to trip over things like low furniture or loose throw rugs. Consider the person's level of impairment now, but also plan ahead for increasing impairment. The person can decline without your realizing his increased risk. As the illness progresses, repeat your survey. The Alzheimer's Association has helpful resources to advise you. Make key changes right away and write out a list of other things that you will want to change over time or that you will want to ask others to help you with. Think of yourself also. What can you do to save yourself steps, keep yourself from falling, and prevent fires? You may find making changes difficult. It means facing the reality that the person who has dementia is changing. It may also mean doing things differently from the way you have always done them. In the house, put away dangerous items such as medications, kitchen knives, matches, power tools, and electric gadgets like hair dryers that, if misused, could start a fire or hurt the person who is impaired. Safely lock away insecticides, gasoline, paint, solvents, cleaning supplies, soap pods, and the like. Or better yet, get rid of them. People with even a mild impairment may use them inappropriately. For things you need ready access to, look in the hardware store for childproof locks for drawers and cabinets. There are several kinds, and they're easy to install. You will want more than one locked or childproof cabinet in which to store things. Be sure your smoke detectors work and that the batteries are fresh. Simplify, simplify, simplify. Clutter means the person who has dementia must try to think through more things, and this leads to accidents. Get rid of clutter, especially on stairs, in the kitchen, and in the bathroom. Think about where the person walks. Remove clutter that he must walk around. Put away low furniture and throw rugs that he could trip over. Remove any extension cords that are where the person could trip on them. A neat house with less clutter also makes it easier for you to find things that the person with an impairment misplaces or hides. As people grow older, their eyes need more light, but often people become accustomed to low light in their homes. Increasing the light in the home and adding night lights will reduce accidents and help the person who has dementia to function as well as possible. You can increase light by leaving the drapes open in the daytime and by using higher wattage bulbs in lamps. Turn lamps on during the daytime in dimly lit rooms. There are economical light bulbs that use less electricity. The added light helps reduce the person's confusion and can prevent him from stumbling over things. The bathroom is usually the most dangerous room in the house. Hazards include falls, poisons, cuts, and burns. Lock up medications and put other items like shampoo, substances that the person might eat, in a cabinet with a childproof lock. Replace the glass drinking glass with a plastic one that won't break. Lower the temperature on the water heater to prevent scalds. Make hot radiators inaccessible. People who have dementia may try to cook or just heat up something, especially at night when you may be sleeping. They may put an empty pan on a hot burner. This is a serious fire hazard. They may also hide things under the stove burners, which can start a fire. You could take several steps to decrease these risks. Begin by taking the knobs off the stove when you're not using it. You can also have someone install timers on the stove and other appliances, such as the microwave, that will turn them off after a certain period of time. You can have a switch installed on the stove or any other electrical appliance so that you can turn it off when you're not using it. It's wise to put this switch out of sight in a cabinet where the person who has dementia will not find it. Don't keep medications out in the open. Get in the habit of storing them away where you're sure the person who has dementia cannot get to them. If he takes his medication and then forgets that he took it, sees the bottle, and takes it again, he could become seriously ill from an overdose. Look at the areas the person walks through. Later, we'll discuss ways to lock doors. Secure any doors you don't want the person to enter. Put clear signs on doors or cabinets that help the person find what he wants or where he's going. Use non-skid rugs. Remove furniture from the hallways. Look for things the person could trip over. Can the person lock himself in a room so that you can't get in? Remove the lock, take the tumblers out, and replace the knob or securely tape the latch open. Stairs are dangerous. The dementia causes the person to become unstable and to pay less attention to steps. He can easily get turned around and fall down the steps, especially at night. Check the handrails on stairs. Be sure they're sturdy. They should be anchored into the stud and not into drywall or plaster. They will not hold a person's weight if they're not securely fastened. If at all possible, set up the person's bedroom on the ground floor early in the person's illness so that he doesn't have to go up and down steps. Put gates at both the top and the bottom of stairs or block them off. Be sure the person cannot climb over the gates and tumble down the flight of stairs. Most people who have dementia will at some point in their illness walk into areas that are unsafe or wander away. Begin beforehand to make the person's home secure. We will talk about wandering later on. A person who has dementia can easily lean too far out of a window or over a balcony rail and fall, a particular danger in a high-rise building. Install security locks on windows and balcony doors. Be aware that people can climb over railings. When a person has a catastrophic reaction and feels panicky, he may be so confused that he will climb over a balcony or fence or out a window to escape what he perceives to be a danger. Prepare for this in advance so that you never have to struggle to hold him back. At the same time that you look for ways to make the home safe, look for ways to make it comfortable for the person who has dementia. Easily understood signs occasionally help people remain independent. Use stable chairs that are easy to get out of. Put a comfortable chair near where you often are, such as close to the kitchen, so that the person can watch you. Put a chair by the window and set up a comfortable, safe seating area in the yard. Reduce the clutter in the person's bedroom, but make the bedroom welcoming and leave some drawers that the person can rummage through. You may want to lower the bed so that if the person falls, he will be less likely to be injured. Bed rails are available from medical supply houses and drugstores, but people often try to climb over them and put themselves at risk of falling. If you live in an apartment or a condominium building that has a doorkeeper or security staff, let these people know that this member of your family is forgetful and may have trouble finding his apartment. These staff people may be willing to alert you if the person tends to wander away. Outdoors. Both adults and children can easily fall or put a hand through the glass in a storm door. Consider covering storm doors with a protective grill work. Sliding glass patio doors should be well marked with stick-on decals. Porches and decks without walls or railings are major fall hazards. Be sure rails are sturdy. If there are steps, attach outdoor non-skid tape to the edges and install a banister. Be sure that garages, hobby or tool areas, and outdoor sheds are inaccessible. These areas are dangerous. One man who had a mild dementia was repairing the toaster, but he left it plugged in while he worked on it. Such mistakes are common and serious. Check for uneven ground, cracked pavement, holes in the lawn, fallen branches, thorny bushes, or molehills that the person can trip over. Take down the clothesline so the person won't run into it. If you have an outdoor grill, never leave it unattended while the coals are hot. Make sure the coals are cold. If you have a gas barbecue, be sure the person who has dementia cannot operate it. Check yard furniture to be sure it's stable, will not tip or collapse, and has no splinters or chipped paint. Lock up garden tools. Fence in or dispose of poisonous flowers. Lawnmowers are dangerous. The person who is impaired may try to unjam a lawnmower while the blades are turning. Occasionally, a person who can no longer safely drive a car will drive away on the riding mower. Push and riding mowers are especially risky on hilly terrain because they can turn over. A fence may help to keep a person who wanders from leaving the yard, but all fences can be climbed, and the person may fall trying to get out. A taller fence is safer than a short one. However, you'll still need to watch a person who tends to wander. Swimming pools are very dangerous. Be sure that your or your neighbor's pool is securely fenced and locked so that the person who has dementia cannot get to it. You may have to explain carefully the nature of the person's impairment to the owner of the pool, making certain that the person is not ever assumed to be competent around a pool. Even if he has always been a good swimmer, a person who has dementia may lose his judgment or his ability to handle himself in the water. Ice and snow are serious hazards for both of you. The person who has dementia is not able to pay attention to stepping carefully, even if you remind him, and his shuffling gait makes things worse. You may also be off balance as you try to help him or distracted as you pay attention to him. Falls have serious consequences for the person who does not understand an injury, and if you're hurt, you will be unable to be a caregiver. Have someone keep your steps and walkways shoveled and salted. Don't take the person out in icy weather except in an emergency, and then only with help. Kitty litter from the grocery store is a good substitute for salt and does not damage lawns. Riding in the car. Problems with driving are discussed in Chapter 4. Never leave a person who has dementia alone in a car. He may wander away, fiddle with the ignition, release the handbrake, be harassed by strangers, or run the battery down by keeping the lights on. Some automatic windows are dangerous for people who have dementia and for children who may close the window on their head or an arm. Engage the automatic window locks so that only the driver can control them. Occasionally, a person will open the car door and attempt to get out while the car is moving. Locking the doors may help. Most cars have child safety locks on the rear doors. This will keep a person from getting out of the back seat until the driver unlocks the doors. If getting out of a moving car is a potential problem, you may need a third person to drive while you keep the person who has dementia calm. A swivel cushion for cars, found on the internet, swivel cushion for the car, raises the car seat slightly and makes it easier for the person to get into the car without having to slide in and out. Another useful product, found on the internet, handy bar for car support, locks into the door striker on the vehicle door frame and saves you from having to lift the person in and out of the car. Highways and parking lots. Highways are dangerous. If you think the person who has dementia may be walking along a highway, notify the police immediately. You shouldn't be concerned about bothering the police unnecessarily. Notifying the police when it turns out to be unnecessary is much better than not alerting them and having a tragedy occur. People driving in parking lots often assume that pedestrians will get out of their way. People who have dementia may not anticipate cars coming or may move slowly. Be especially alert to entrances into enclosed garages. These often put the pedestrian directly into the path of cars. Smoking. If the person smokes, the time will come when he lays down a lighted cigarette and forgets it. This is a serious hazard. If allowing the person to smoke poses a hazard, you must intervene. Try to discourage smoking. Talk with his physician to see whether it might be possible to obtain a medication that decreases the craving to smoke. Many families have been able to take cigarettes completely away from a person who has dementia. This may be difficult for a few days or weeks, but much easier in the long run. However, some people forget they ever smoked and thus don't complain when you take their cigarettes away. Other families allow the person to smoke only under their supervision. All smoking materials and kitchen or fireplace matches must be kept out of reach of the forgetful person. The person who has cigarettes but not matches may use the stove to light a cigarette and may leave the stove on. Refer to the suggestions for disabling the stove given earlier in this chapter. Hunting. The use of firearms requires complex mental skills that are usually lost early in dementia. Firearms must be put in a safe place under lock and key. If necessary, ask your doctor or clergy to explain to the person's hunting buddies that hunting is now too dangerous for him. Ask the local police or sheriff's department if they can help dispose of a firearm if you don't know how to do so. Nutrition and meal times. Good nutrition is important to both you and the person who has dementia. If you're not eating well, you will be more tense and more easily upset. It's not known to what extent a proper diet affects the progress of dementia, but we do know that forgetful people often fail to eat properly and can develop nutritional deficiencies. Poor nutrition leads to numerous dental and health problems, which can add to behavioral symptoms. Talk to your doctor about a diet that's healthy for both of you. Studies indicate that a diet that's good for the heart is also good for the brain. Ask your doctor if she recommends a heart-healthy diet. The Alzheimer's Association will have current information about these findings. If the person is at risk for strokes, your physician may add supplements or medications to reduce this risk. If your doctor has recommended a special diet for managing other diseases like diabetes or heart disease, it's important that you find out from her what food you should serve in order to maintain a balanced diet. Ask your doctor to refer you to a nutritionist who can help you plan meals that are good for both of you, that the person will eat, and that you can easily prepare. If the person who has dementia is active, wandering, or pacing and has difficulty sitting still long enough to eat, try preparing sandwiches. Cut them into quarters and give him one piece at a time to eat as he walks. Meal preparation. When you must prepare meals in addition to all your other responsibilities, you may find yourself taking shortcuts, such as fixing just a cup of coffee and toast for yourself and the person who has dementia. If preparing meals is a job you had to take on for the first time when your spouse became ill, You may not know how to serve good, nutritious meals quickly and easily, and you may not want to learn to cook. There are several alternatives. We suggest you plan a variety of ways to get good meals with a minimum of effort. There are eating together programs for people over 60 and Meals on Wheels programs in most areas. Both services provide one hot, nutritious meal a day. You can find out what meal services are available through a social worker or the local office on aging. Meals on Wheels programs bring a meal to your home. Eating together programs, offered at senior centers and funded under the Older Americans Act, provide lunch and often a recreational program in the company of other retired people at a community center. Transportation is often provided. Many restaurants will prepare carry-out meals if requested. This helps when a person can no longer eat in public. Numerous inexpensive cookbooks on the market explain the basic steps in easy meal preparation. Some are written for the man who is bacheloring. Some are available in large print. An experienced homemaker can show you how to prepare quick, easy meals. The home economist in your county extension office or a public health nurse can give you good, easy recipes for two. They also have helpful information on budgeting, shopping, meal planning, and nutrition, and can help you understand and plan menus for special diets. Some frozen dinners provide well-balanced meals, but these are often expensive. Many, however, are low in vitamins and high in salt, and lack the fiber older people need to prevent constipation. Mealtimes. Seat the person comfortably, in as close to a normal eating position as possible. Be sure that possible distractions, such as a television or needing to use the toilet, are taken care of. Some people do better with someone else at the table. Others are distracted by this. The dining area should be well lit so that the person can easily see his food. Use a plate that contrasts with the placemat and with the food. For example, it's easier to see a white plate if it is on a bright blue placemat. Avoid glass if he has difficulty seeing it. Avoid dishes with patterns if the person is confused by them. If the person is confused by having condiments, salt, pepper, sugar, etc., on the table, remove them. If he's confused by having several eating utensils at his place, put out only one. Some people do better in a dining room or a kitchen where there are many subtle cues like food smells that remind them to eat. Allow the person to feed himself as much as possible. Some people are unable to decide what to eat when several different foods are on their plate. If that's true of your relative whom you are serving, limit the number of foods you put in front of him at one time. For example, serve only his salad, then only his meat. Having to make choices is often what leads to playing with food. Don't put salt, ketchup, or other condiments where he can reach them. If he mixes condiments inappropriately into his food, season his food for him. Be sure that his food is cut into pieces that are small and tender enough to be eaten safely. People who have dementia may forget to chew or fail to cut up meats properly because the hands and the brain no longer work together. Messiness. As the person develops problems with coordination, he may become messier and begin to use his fingers instead of silverware. It's almost always easier to adjust to this than to fight it. It usually means he's no longer able to use eating utensils. Use a plastic tablecloth or placemats. Serve meals in a room in which the floor can be easily cleaned. Don't scold when he uses his fingers. Eating with his fingers postpones the time when he'll need more help from you. Serve things that are easy to pick up in bite-sized pieces. If the person is able to use a fork or spoon, he'll be more successful eating from a dish with sides. You can purchase a scoop plate or a plate guard, which attaches to a plate, from a medical supply store. Use fairly heavy dishes. They slip less. Dysem, D-Y-C-E-M, available online and from medical supply houses, placed under a plate will keep it from slipping. Plates with suction cups are also available. Utensils with large, Thick handles are easier for people with arthritis or coordination problems to use. You could purchase these or build up your own spoon and fork handles with foam rubber. Do this to your own pens and notice how much less tiring writing is. Some people who have dementia will agree to wear a smock over their clothing. Others will be confused or offended by it. If you try this, use a smock or large apron rather than a bib. Some people lose the ability to judge how much liquid will fill a glass and overfill glasses. They will need your help. To prevent spilling, don't fill glasses or cups full. Fluids. Be sure that the person gets enough fluid each day. Even people with mild cognitive impairment may forget to drink, and inadequate fluid intake can lead to other physical problems. Always check the temperature of hot drinks. The person may lose the ability to judge temperature and burn himself as a result. If the person doesn't like water, offer juices and frequently remind him to take a few sips. If possible, he shouldn't have more than one cup of coffee, tea, or caffeinated colas in a day. Caffeine is a diuretic, which increases the volume and frequency of urination and, as a result, takes fluids from the body. A pureed diet. If the person is on a pureed diet, use a blender or a baby food grinder. You can puree normally prepared foods in it. This saves time and money. Home-cooked foods will be more appealing to the person than baby foods. Spoon-feeding. If you spoon-feed a person, put only a small amount of food on the spoon at a time. Wait until the person swallows before giving him the next bite. Late in the disease, you might have to remind him to swallow. Problem eating behaviors. Forgetful people who are still eating some meals alone may forget to eat, even if you leave food in plain sight. They may hide food, throw it away, or eat food after it is spoiled. These are signals that the person can no longer manage alone and that you must make new arrangements. You may manage for a time by phoning at noon to remind him to eat lunch now, but this is a short-term solution. People who live alone and have mild cognitive impairment or dementia are frequently malnourished. Even if they appear overweight, they may not be eating the proper foods. A poor diet can worsen their ability to think. Many of the problems that arise at mealtime involve catastrophic reactions. Make mealtime as routine and regular as possible, with as little confusion as you can arrange. This will help prevent catastrophic reactions. Fussy or messy eaters do better when things are calm. Check that dentures are tight-fitting. If they're loose, it may be safer to leave them out until they can be adjusted. People who have dementia often lack the judgment to avoid burning themselves. Check the temperature of foods. Food heated in a microwave oven may be too hot in spots. Stir thoroughly. People who have dementia may develop rigid likes and dislikes and refuse to eat certain foods. Such people may be more willing to eat familiar foods prepared in familiar ways. If the person never